Now I know everyone's tired, but we have 25 minutes left, and we'll try to use it, those minutes, to the best of our ability, with the help of the Lord, to try to say a little something at the close of these conference gatherings. I'd like to read once again in Matthew chapter 4. And we'll read the same verses that we've just had read to us in Matthew 4 and verse 18. Ora voy a leer en Mateo capítulo 18, el versículo 10, Mateo capítulo 4, el versículo 18. I'm not sure if I said that right in English or not. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 18 is where I want to read. We'll just double check that. Read again. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father. And this is the place, this is the, these words that I really like, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Now I'd like to read in 1 Corinthians, please. Ahora vamos a leer en 1 Corintios, capítulo 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. Versículo 10. Un solo versículo aquí. Verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now we'd like to read in Ephesians, in chapter 4, please. El libro de Efesios, capítulo 4. Comenzando desde versículo 11. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come into or unto the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Verse 15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. One portion more, please. In 1 Peter in chapter 5. La primera epístola de Pedro, capítulo 5. Verso 10. 1 Peter 5 and verse 10. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now again, we trust the Lord will bless to us the public reading of his precious word and that which has already gone on before. I believe that for the sake of time and the continuity of our thoughts, I might just give a little outline in Spanish at first, and then to be able to finish up in the English language. El propósito de leer estos versículos en esta tarde es ver una palabra destacada. Es la palabra perfección. En Evangelio según Lucas, digo mejor dicho, el Evangelio según Mateo y capítulo 4, allí encontramos a los discípulos y están reparando sus redes, porque estaban rotas. Y esas redes estaban rotas y no es porque habían agarrado muchos peces. Porque dice en Lucas capítulo 5 que ellos pasaron toda la noche pescando y no pescaron nada. Entonces yo miro que esas redes estaban rotas por el descuidado de los pescadores. Pero esa palabra la encontramos en 1 Corintios también. Y capítulo 10, digo en capítulo 1 y versículo 10. En 1 Corintios 1 y 10 encontramos esa palabra, la perfección. Y esa es la misma idea. Reparando una red. Y allí encontramos el problema que había. La red estaba rota. Porque había división en la asamblea. Pero el apóstol nos da la contestación, cómo podemos reparar la red. Y allí dice, hermanos, os ruego en el nombre de nuestro Señor Jesucristo. Cada vez que encontramos ese título de Cristo, el nuestro Señor Jesucristo nos habla de su señorío. Su señorío. Entonces, si vamos a reparar el problema de las divisiones, entonces tenemos que reconocer el señorío de Cristo Jesús. También en Efesios y capítulo 4 tenemos la misma palabra en versículo 12. Y ahí encontramos los hombres dados a la asamblea. Esos hombres que tienen los dones, que hombres de doneados, dados a la asamblea de parte de Cristo Jesús. Ellos están allí con el propósito de perfeccionar a los santos. Y esa perfección le va a llevar a los santos al ministerio, trabajando en la obra del Señor, y va a servir para la edificación del cuerpo de Cristo. Y últimamente, digo el último versículo, 1 Pedro capítulo 5, otra vez tenemos esa palabra, perfección. ¿Y qué pasa aquí? Aquí en ese versículo tenemos a los hermanos sufriendo, bajo mucha presión. Entonces el apóstol Pablo, digo mejor dicho el apóstol Pedro, él le hace levantar los ojos y dice, mire, nosotros hemos sido llamados para la gloria de nuestro Dios. Y entonces él dice, mejor dicho, él habla de la gloria de Cristo. Y es la gloria de Él, si estamos ocupados en ella, en esa gloria, que nosotros vamos a poder aguantar los sufrimientos aquí en este mundo. Eso es todo lo que yo creo que voy a hablar de eso, con ese bosquejo. Tal vez nos puede seguir en lo que vamos a estar hablando en inglés. Now I want to speak the rest of the time in the English language. The reason why I read this portion again in Matthew chapter 4 is to bring before us those words, mending their nets. It's interesting, as we look at the background of this occasion, we find it more in detail in Luke chapter 5. In Luke chapter 5, we have the testimony of Peter, who tells us that they toiled all night long and they caught nothing. Why? Well, in the morning we find them mending their nets. Not because their nets were filled with fishes. I wonder if maybe one of the reasons why they caught nothing is because their nets were already broken before they threw them over into the sea. I see here maybe fishermen acting carelessly in their profession and in the job that they had to do. And their nets were broken. I don't know much about fishing. Most of my fishing expeditions go much similar to this one. I can honestly say I caught nothing. Most of the time that's what happens. And if I catch anything, it's not worth keeping. You have to throw it back in. But one thing I'm sure, if I was a fish and I was floating along there in that water, and I was to see this net, and maybe I'm not able to see it because it's built in such a way, but if I see that it's broken, I believe I'm going to have a reaction that's going to cause me to dart to the other side, away from that broken net. And if I do get caught in the net, then I'm going to wiggle and squirm enough till I find that opening and carry on the other side. Brethren and sisters, the only thing I'd like to bring from this is that the mending of the nets is so important in spiritual life. When it comes to being fishers, as we've already been hearing, of men, souls for Christ, we need to know what it is to have the nets mended, examined each time we throw them overboard in the preaching of the gospel to seek to win souls for the one who we adore. But as we read in the epistles, first of all in 1 Corinthians in chapter 1, we find a net and it's not mended. The same word that you find in Matthew chapter 4, mending the nets, in the Greek language, is the same word that you have here in verse 10. But that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind. Same word. Perfectly joined together. The net mended. But the problem in Corinth was that the net was broken. It was broken by division. Of all the problems that were in Corinth, the first one that Paul addresses is the problem of division. You know, we think of division, we think of two parties colliding, clashing, the one against the other. But brethren and sisters, that is only normal. Why? Because we're all different. God chose to make us all different. We're all like snowflakes. There's not one of us that are the same. Being different, we're going to have different approaches to life. Different approaches to problems and difficulties. But the problem comes not in the fact that we're different. The problem comes when we have different goals in view. For this reason, the apostle addresses them as brethren. He sees them in their family of God. And he says, now brethren, in the name, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what's the answer for division? What's the remedy for it? Whenever we find in the Word of God this title given to Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. The writer is referring to his lordship. His lordship. And I believe the answer to division, brethren and sisters, is getting our eyes off of one another and getting our eyes off of ourselves and fixing them upon Christ. And that is the way we're all going to have the one mind. And that's the way we're all going to talk the same thing. Speaking the same thing. You know, it's wonderful to know that God, in all His wisdom, knew that we, when He made us, He put within us a pound of flesh that is wicked, that's corrupt, it's evil. And it's called the tongue. But He, in all His wisdom, put that pound of flesh behind a cage called teeth. And before that pound of flesh becomes to work, it starts to work, the cage has to open. And He's also, in His wisdom, has given us the power to clamp down and close that gate again. And sometimes we call it biting the tongue. But when that tongue gets out of control, out of its cage, and it's not governed by the lordship of Christ, then I begin to sow division. You know, this division can be seen not only in the assembly, it can be seen in the home. You take, for example, when husbands and wife are having a problem. If the way that they want to solve that problem is to glorify God, and as Christians, they recognize that Christ is the head of this home. And whatever the answer is to our problem, the answer has to be in a way that Christ will have the preeminence, that Christ will be honored, and that His name will be glorified as we come and find the answer to our problem. But the division comes in the home when one loses sight of Christ, and loses sight of the of why there is the differences. And that person, whether it be the husband or whether it be the wife, strives with one purpose in view, to gain what he wants instead of what Christ would have for them. That's where we go astray. We lose sight of Christ. And the net becomes broken. Brothers and sisters, we lose the fish. We lose the fish. There's many an unsaved person in the city of Los Angeles today, and they're hurting, and they're starving for the message of the gospel. But we won't get them. We won't have them moving amongst us if our nets are broken. Ephesians tells us, chapter 4, uses the same word, the mending of the net. Verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now those three words, four. The same word in English, but it's two different words in Greek. God, or Christ, has given us gifted men in the assemblies. Men that have the ability to minister God's word. Men that have the ability to proclaim the message of the gospel. Why? Well, he tells you, four. That verse four has the idea of a golden view. The reason why the assemblies and the body of Christ has been gifted with gifted men is with a golden view of perfecting the saints. Mending those nets. That's the work of an evangelist. That's the work of the pastor teacher. Pastor teacher may be the same class of person, class of men. Pastor, that means he gets alongside of the people. Teacher, he does that from the pulpit. But if we're going to be good teachers, we You have to be good pastors, shepherds, alongside of the people. And so, he says, it's for the purpose, with the goal in view, of mending the nets, of perfecting the saints. And then he uses the word for again. But this time, it's not with the goal in view, but it's with the results. What are the results? For the working of the ministry. If the nets are mended, the results will be work. It's going to be done. And it's going to be work that's going to be of a service nature. Ministry means service. And it's going to be done in a happy attitude, in a collective attitude. And then the results of that will be for the edifying of the body of Christ. And as we serve together, we serve for that one purpose, to edify the body of Christ. What's the problem here? I think that the writer Paul, as he thought of the body of Christ, that mystical body called the church, he says in verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may, and I just want to capitalize on these two words, grow up. Grow up. That was the problem. The net was broken. There wasn't that ministry given. There wasn't that perfecting of the saints. And the people weren't growing. They weren't growing. No development. They were starved. He uses another word, verse 16. Breaking in the verse, it says, maketh, that latter part of the verse, maketh increase, grow up, increase, edifying in love. Edifying, that's the word to build. You know, it always costs us to build. You do any kind of construction work, and it's going to cost. Time and money. But yet, that's what Paul says is necessary for the perfecting of the saints. And when those saints and that net is fixed, what happens? Verse 16, and I'm only going to touch it because my time is about gone. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. Paul looks at us as does joints in a body. And he says those joints there are for the purpose of supplying to the good of the body. And why? For the purpose of growth unto Christ. We see Christ and we see his headship. First it was the lordship. Now in Ephesians 4, it's headship. And it's growing into him by the mending of the net. Lastly, 1 Peter. And here we have Peter writing to these believers. And they're under a lot of stress and strain. And with stress and strain comes distress. And that happens to us too. And he tells them that ye have suffered a little while. He brings it very close to home, personally. Dear brother, dear sister, younger, especially to my as younger believers, the conference basically is over. Tomorrow is Monday morning. Tomorrow we start school, work, whatever activity it may be. What do we expect from this old world that we live in? Their applause? Their approval? No. We're joined to Christ. And because we're joined to Christ, the world hates us. And they don't like our principles. They don't like our style of living. And they're going to cause us to suffer. But Peter says, It's just a little while. It's only till He comes. It's only till our Lord snatches us from this present evil world. And He stands in contrast. He says, yes, it's suffering. It's only for a little while. But He says here in verse 10, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus. What stands before the Christian? The eternal glory. You know, it's not our glory. We've been hearing about that. I love that thought. It's not our glory that lies before us. Yes, we'll receive glory. But it's going to be like Moses and Elijah there on the Mount of Transfiguration. And they were surrounded in glory. But where did they receive the glory from? From the Lord of glory. It wasn't their glory. It's the glory they received from Christ. And brethren and sisters, the little while here of suffering is not to be compared with the glory that lies before us. It's the glory of Christ. And we've been called to that. We've been called to suffer this little while. And we're called to glory. And the reason why we must suffer is because we belong to Him. But He says He'll perfect us in distress, in suffering, in difficulty. How often under the pressures and the load of the day, the net breaks. And we lose sight of that glory. What's the answer? When we realize that we've been called by Him, and we realize that it's better on before. Before us, brethren and sisters, is heaven. Before us is that place where we'll be with God for all eternity. May God help us then, as we leave from this conference, to go away with a renewed desire to please the One who died for us. May He bless us.